pray. Heavenly Father, we're again grateful to be here, knowing that this is the hour that you are here, Lord, to see us transformed somehow by grace, as the prophet said, if you ever send your power into the church, it'll not be by obedience, but by grace, and we know that's true. We understand the whole principle, Lord, it's all one of grace. We don't understand it in depth, and so we could explain it and really appreciate it, but at least our understanding has come to the mechanical extent that if you don't do it, it's not going to be done. And you know, Lord, that even before the prophet died and right afterward, that's been my stand. If you aren't going to do it, then it isn't going to be done. That's all there is to it. No matter how much we achieve, how much we do with what you've given us, Lord, we know that that's never going to be the answer. It'll never take us out of the grave. It'll never take us into immortality. It'll never take us into rapture. That's going to be an extension of your grace, marvelous grace of our loving Lord. We appreciate that this morning, Father. May we rejoice in it, and may our rejoicing be scriptural. May it be sane. May it be led of the Holy Spirit. May it be Christ-like, bride-like. All these things, Lord, we ask. We ask you now to help us in our study, Lord. Help our thoughts. We know that we have some thoughts, Lord, whether they're coordinated, I don't know. Some thinking, Lord, I just don't know how it's going to come out, but you do know, Lord. We're asking especially for grace and for help, not to overstep it, Lord, but to just plead our weaknesses before you and know, Lord, that you've got to help us, and we believe that you will help us in spite of ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I want to bring some thoughts on the Godhead this morning, and particularly in relationship to the hour in which we live, because I think perhaps that many, many times going into the subjects which we go into, even with repetition and thoroughly trying to cross-reference everything in Scripture and what Brother Branham said, there is still the possibility, and I'm worried to the extent that it's more than a possibility, that we seem to just not catch some of the things that are being said. And Brother Branham warned us along that line particularly. So we're going to try to bring out some things this morning that hopefully, even just one thought, that will be helpful to us. Now, first of all, we'll read just a couple of verses concerning God himself in 1 Timothy 6, 14 to 16. And Paul speaking said that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Now you notice in here, it immediately says that God cannot be seen. No man has ever seen God, and it doesn't say that no man ever will, but it doesn't say that no man can ever see him. But to the present, it does say that there isn't any man that has seen God. Jesus himself said that no one has seen him or are able to reveal him except the Son, which we'll see that in a minute or two, I trust. But what we're looking at here is that God is spirit, which we find out in John 4:24. God is a spirit. And in Genesis, it also says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth without form and void. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And as Servetus brought out at the time of Calvin, that it is not necessary to believe that God has a spirit, as though God and that spirit were essentially separated and constituted two of them, but rather that it was God who is spirit, himself was moving upon the face of the deep. And of course that's true, because if you're going to put to the fact that God is the creator who made something from nothing in the original, then you have to also acquiesce to the fact that God says that all things are maintained by him, so that they are kept up by him. He keeps all things in control. And then we see here in Daniel 4:34 to 35 and Romans 9:9, 13, 21, 23, that this God who is spirit and cannot be seen is a sovereign God. So we better just check that in Daniel. And you're going to find that many people are going to be like Nebuchadnezzar, except they'll never come to the conclusion that God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come to. They'll be turned into beasts, but they won't have the happy privilege of being turned back to a human being where they can recognize God. Now, that sounds peculiar, but that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. His hair grew like feathers, and he was like a beast on all 4 feet. He ate grass like oxen, which I guess is not too bad a diet, but I don't think I'd, particularly care for it. It says here at the end of the days, when his trial was over, Nebuchadnezzar, lift up mine eyes unto heaven, my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? Now that's an epitomization or encapsulated form of the doctrine of sovereignty. And we read over here in Romans, then, the 9th chapter, and those few verses, 9 to 13. But for this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the promise of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. In other words, it tells you here that you don't have a thing to do with calling the shots. That's putting the Bible into Lee Vale vernacular, 20th century vulgar, X-rated vernacular. None of us call the shots. We may think we do, and you may try it, but it's like the casting of the lots is in the hand of man, but the disposal thereof is in the hand of God. Now, you and I may think we're doing this and doing that, and it's a cinch we are doing certain things, and if you get caught, you can get thrown in jail, and things like that, proving you're responsible. But God is sovereign. And a lot of people just don't want to recognize the sovereignty of God. Now, if God is not sovereign, then God is not God. You've got a wrong definition of what God is. You see what Brother Branham said, God is an object of worship. Well, listen, that's just in relationship to what he's talking about, a worship service. But he brought out that God is sovereign. In fact, he was one of the hardest sovereign teachers in the world, and I think he was the only clear sovereign teacher, although Dr. Pink, without a doubt, is the greatest that ever lived outside of Brother Branham. But Dr. Pink could not take it back where Brother Branham took it back. He took it right back to the very beginning, which wasn't the beginning, which was God himself. So Brother Branham said, he said, God knew every flea there'd be, and how many times they had his eyeballs. How many times, now, look, if you don't believe in sovereignty, that encapsulates it perfectly. You should believe that God knew every flea and how many times they'd bat their eyeballs and how much it would take of them to make a pound of tallow. And you talk about this here then, when you realize the election in a child which is about to be born, and that then calls for a certain sperm and a certain egg to get together, of which in one human being, the male and the female, of course the male outweighs the female essentially in the number of sperm. Now she could have a little scilla-like thing hair up there, be a million or so. There's normally about 250,000 eggs. But the little scilla which could produce could be, as Brother Braddock said, in the millions. That's scientifically correct biologically. But the male sperm being trillions over a period of time. Well, as Brother Branham said, you talk about a virgin birth. That's nothing compared to this here. God just said, create, bing, bing, chemical factory, put it together. This here. You're dealing in numbers that computers couldn't handle. Okay, it was said, now, election is not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now, right there, you got predestination. You got where God will take one. From the very heart of God himself, you have those that are born into the bride. And also those somehow of the same cloth come up in the second resurrection. Then you've got those that are distinctly and essentially of another seed. Because seed is spora, or in human beings are sperma, and the flower is spora. And we're like grass, we're like flowers before God. You know how it is at the end time, everybody wants to corrupt everything and grab everything to bride? The Pope is the vicar, And now the homos are flower children, right? But we're the flower children. Right from the loins of God, so to speak. And these birds come along, and you can tell by the language we're at the end time. There's nothing out there today but doesn't type destruction, the end time. The very verbalization of things today shows it's a perversion. So you just remember all these things, brother, sister. We're not fooling in these last hours. Now let's read 21 to 23. Hath not the potter power over the clay? What's he talking about? Human beings. And we're clay. Out of the dust we come. The same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another to dishonor. What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known? Endured as much long-suffering, the vessel of the wrath fitted to destruction. Now notice right there how the people are talking, all the religious ones. Oh, love, love, love. Lovey, love, love, love. Everyone's in love. God is love. Oh, what? Love, love, love. What about wrath? Notice the parallelism. They're talking love, which is a bunch of hogwash, and we've got love, which is God. Now listen, the love of God is not God who is love. Oh, come on, there's a difference. There's a difference. We're talking about having love, God himself that came down to see us in. Not the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Come on. People today can't even differentiate between the baptism and the baptizer. A token and B token. Now listen, let's face this fact, brother, sister. There is not one of us, as Bob Brown says, this old business throws us of Christ in you, hope of glory. I'm going to tell you something. Christ is not in any one of us today, at this hour, sitting in this church, or in any man in the world at this hour, is Christ himself the person in that person. Or you would be Godhead himself right down here in human flesh. Forget it. The closest you could come would be in a prophet. You have a little teeny bit of the ocean of God. God has given to us of his spirit. Didn't say God gave us his spirit so God came into us human beings. When God was in Moses, Moses was God to the people. And as soon as God left, when the word was delivered, Moses was Moses. We'll touch that later on. See, a lot of you can't understand at this hour that difference. Absolutely. Now, said God, hath not the potter the power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and one unto dishonor? What if God willing to show his wrath, see, in this hour, and make his power known, which he did? When you see the power of God is in this hour, wrath is on the scene, but they're talking about love. Endured with much long sufferings, the vessel of the wrath fitted to destruction. Now notice, in this scripture here, it definitely admits that the vessels of wrath fitted themselves. They were vessels of wrath to begin with, but they fit themselves to it. You tell me these perverts got to be doing what they're doing? The doctors and the government, everybody comes in and says, oh, bless their dear little hearts. I'm going to tell you something, brother. They know what they're doing, and don't tell me they don't. Because I know what I'm doing, and you know what you're doing, and you know why you're doing it. People running like beasts. Until I wouldn't blame you if you took your kids out of school and kept them at home. I'm not telling you to do it, but I wouldn't blame you to. We said they're going to run. Yes, sure, they're going to run anyway. I want to tell you one thing. Remember, there is wrath that is heaped up and stored up, not in this hour, but in the lake of fire, could be millions of years. You'll pay a price for your stupidity. You say, well, just a minute. I'm going to be annihilated anyway, but not for a long, 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 long time, for all you know. People want to play fast and loose with everything. See? Or they don't look for judgment, but we know judgment's already come. And the judgment said the bride's clean, she's free. See? That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared. Now it says at the time of the wrath, the vessels of God will be prepared by God. Can't you understand this is John the Baptist all over again? I'm getting ahead of myself. I always get ahead of myself when I don't use specific notes. Even then I get ahead of myself. But in John's day, in Luke, first chapter, signifying the ministry of John the Baptist that hour. It says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, this messenger of God, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient, that's the ignorant, to the wisdom of the just, in order to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God's prepared people. God starting way back in himself and bringing you down in human form and flesh. God knowing your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather way back, right back to Adam. Then knowing you right back to himself. Because Adam was made in his image. First of all, spirits, then put in the physical. That's what God was. That's what we're going to try to talk about this morning. God in the spiritual, then God in the physical. Okay, we see then here the sovereignty of Almighty God. This God who is essentially spirit. God is spirit. Spirit of God and God, same thing. But, though God is a spirit, and as we read, he cannot be seen. He cannot be apprehended by man through some visibility of himself intrinsically. He has made a way whereby he can be apprehended. Now, I hope you caught my words. They're not a Philadelphia lawyer's words, but they're very precise. In other words, I'm trying to tell you this, that God has not been seen and cannot be seen, and yet there's a way to get to God and God to get to you and me. There's a way there can be some sort of an appearance, and that is by revelation. And you notice over here in John 17 and 3, Jesus tells a little bit about it. He says here, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and know Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So it tells you right there, there is an apprehendability about God, that God can be known, that somehow you can get to God. All right, now let's go to Matthew 11 to 30, and we're going to see the same thing, and here's where we are in this hour, if you just will believe it. Okay, 11th chapter. But verily I send you among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah which was for to come. Now remember, the was for to come was to get ready the hearts of the children, to turn the ignorant, those that didn't know. Now remember, if anybody should have known, Israel should have known. They didn't know. So what did God do? He sent an authority into the bride at that hour, the Old Testament group, that they might know through measures of grace. See? Okay. Remember, Alpha Omega. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, in just a minute, those same words are written in every church age in the book of Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So, therefore, this runs in continuity through every church age, that God has always had a messenger, a true vicar, to represent him. And some ages differ from other ages. Because Alpha is Omega. Doesn't say it runs, it just says it runs the whole thing through, but when you come to Alpha, it duplicates. See? Okay now. But what shall I say to this generation? And remember, this generation doesn't specifically mean a certain group that lives a certain number of years. It's this breed of people. This kind. I'm going to tell you something. This kind of, it said, this generation shall not pass away. And Brother Branham came on the scene and he remarked that homosexuality had risen 30%. I think it was. In a short time. Look where it is today. Now it says, this breed of people shall not pass away. Your perverts, your homos are here to stay. And what's God going to do? Destroy them like in Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to burn on this earth. So don't you look for improvement. And don't you bother praying. You better pray for yourselves. Because you think you're going to light a candle for God to say this out here. You're wrong. Because you're in for it. This world is in for it. You're going to have the perverse everywhere you go. And you can smile here, smuggle yourself and say, well, I won't be one. You'll be one by tomorrow for all I know and you know. You better look out. You're not that smart. I'm going to tell you something. You better let God do your preparing. See? A lot of people just think they're too smart, that's all. No matter where you turn, you got this rottenness. Now, first generation. It is like children sitting in the markets and calling to their fellows and saying, we piped unto you and you have not danced. We mourned unto you and you have not lamented. For they want us to join up. Now, you tell yourself, nobody getting this bride unless they're called. We're just like the day of Pentecost back there when the Holy Ghost first fell. When he first came on the scene, the pillar of fire, and divided himself. He didn't divide all of himself. Don't be ridiculous. A pillar of fire wasn't diminished. Life never diminishes. Don't ever kid yourself. Look at your own life. You got children? Pass it on. Pass it on. Pass it on. Seed goes out in the ground. Passing on. Passing on. Passing on. God would have to pass on off the scene before life diminished. Now, God will destroy an extraneous force, an extraneous life, but he was the author of the whole thing to begin with. In other words, all the hybridism will be gone. Only the real is going to be in the world. You betcha. It doesn't diminish. See? Now, John came neither eating or drinking. You see, he's got a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Say, behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified over children. See? We don't join anybody. We stay separate, like you say in the day of Pentecost. No man durst join himself, it said. No man durst join himself. I guess according to the word, we're the least evangelical of all people. The kingdom of heaven is like a man catching a bunch of fishing net, and he saves some and throws the rest away. This is throwaway time. This is where the lizards and the crawfish all go creeping back. Just fish day. I'm going to tell you, eels aren't fish, even though they call fishermen eaters. Well, if they are fish, not the good kind. No fins. I think they're snakes. Then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now watch, this is the parallel to this hour. Woe to you, Chorazin, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in the sackcloth and ashes. Now remember, this is the age of repentance. See? I send you, it shall be more tolerable to Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted in heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For the mighty works which are done in you have been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. And remember, the Spirit of God gave Brother Branham the correct interpretation of the city of the angels, Sodom. Why? Because the angels were the one that fell. The fallen angels. Lucifer, the god and the serpent that cohabited with Eve, that messed the whole thing up. See? I say it's more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Why? Because there was another civilization group, but there won't be this time. Man will be an entirely different civilization. At that time, now listen, now here we're getting at that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. There you are, Revelation. That's a reading, huh? Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. All things are delivered unto me and my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal it. Now that's right at this hour. Just like in that hour. There's a repeat. Why? Because the Son of Man is being revealed. The Son of Man has been revealed. Now, come unto me, all your labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Here's the promise for this hour. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Everything else goes into condemnation. Here's your parallel. Here's what we're driving and trying to get across this morning. Look, there is a way to know God, and that way is a way of revelation. See, that's the only way you can know him. Now, let's go back in depth to the original revelation that we got to really start with to bring us up to this hour. And, of course, there's no place to go but back to Exodus, the third chapter. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, O, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, the I am that was in Abraham, I am that I am. See, the self-existent one. Now, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me. Okay, let's go to Exodus, the fourth chapter. 10 to 16. Then Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. He said, I was slow before I met you, and I'm slow since I met you. He said, I'm supposed to be a prophet and tell these people things. He said, look, I can't even talk. And the Lord said, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And now, in other words, he said, look, he said, I'm still not up to it. Now here's a man that had face-to-face contact with God, and the literal promise of Almighty God, and he flunked the test. So don't you feel too bad when you flunked your test. Just pick up and go on. Say, well, I blew it that time, but there's another day coming. This is not to say that people will blow your day of salvation. I'm just telling you, look, don't get discouraged. If you can find men like Moses and men like Paul and men like John the Baptist having second thoughts, and even William Branham for a while, until he came into a certain area, which was the seventh seal, then all right, if you've got second thoughts, just remember, you're not lonesome. All through the ages, they've had their second thoughts. Only God didn't have these second thoughts. Jesus and God in the form of flesh. Everybody else did. See? So just remember that. Just don't play it to the hilt. Don't pardon yourself, excuse yourself. Just say, all right, look, I'm not the only one. I'm in a pretty good crowd. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. Real old orator. He was a shotgun orator. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he'll be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth. It's step down, see? Step down. And will teach you what he shall do, what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman of the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. In other words, in lieu of. Aaron won't have to worry what he's going to say because Moses is going to tell him. And Moses is not going to worry what he's got to tell Aaron because God's going to tell him. Now I want to show you something here in the economy of Almighty God. That this was how it was in the beginning, that Moses could come right down and talk to this man, he talked to those. Then how much of the Holy Ghost did Moses have to be infallible? He had just exactly enough. If it was all of God or less, that's Moses, God's business in Moses. I don't know. I'll leave that with God, how much of God was in him. If the entire Godhead was, that's fine by me. I got no kick because God can do anything. If God wants to put that portion of the word there, that's fine by me. That measure of spirit, I've got no problem. But I'm just showing you the infallibility of this word. That a prophet can come back and say word by word. That's what Brother Branham said, that he was the only man living who could tell it exactly as it was and exactly as he saw it. Nobody else can. Junior Jackson thought that Brother Branham wasn't saying right. Billy Sixth's Minute said, Junior, when was he ever wrong? You think you know your dream? Prophet could tell you more than you remember. Amen. Why? Because he's got God there. What kind of a messed up thing is God? If we're dealing in sovereignty, omniscience, and omnipotence, we're dealing in the infinite, then we better keep it infinite. See, do not try to cut it off. Okay. Now, we go to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and see this brought out, this very thing now we're talking about, this business of the prophets. In verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Now Israel asked that they did not hear the thundering voice of God, and they did not see the fire. So God said, okay, that's all over. You got your wish. You'll never see it, never hear it again. And the Lord said, they have well spoken what they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet. Now how's God going to get to them? I'm going to raise up a prophet. Now this, of course, the prophecy concerning Jesus, but it holds good to all the prophets. From among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now that's what God said he's going to do to Moses. These are the prophets that bring the word. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not hear my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Then that person is actually Almighty God. When it comes to the word. When it comes to the word, I say. Now, people don't like that.
They want to write their own Bible, write their own tunes, write their own everything. I'm sorry, God does not allow anybody to do it outside of this. Now watch the proof. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded to speak, or that shall speak in the name of the gods, even that prophet shall die. Now that's a very tough one. You say, how's that going to work out? How will we know? You say, and if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken or the word which the Lord has spoken? It doesn't matter. Put it either way you want. Doesn't matter. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, that's thus saith the Lord. If the thing fall not, that's a prophecy, does not come to pass, that's the thing the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet spoke it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now he tells you right there, the prophet is a vindicated person. The prophet speaks in the name of the Lord and the thing comes to pass. In other words, he stands right there as though he's God himself. And his words will do what the words of no man can do because they're not the words of a man, they're the words of God. Now you understand that very clearly. Okay, let's go to Numbers 12 to 58. And you're going to see a very special kind of a prophet mentioned here. Now, verse 58 there. Verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. That's what I want. Verse 6. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. That's an ordinary prophet. And they can come out of those dreams with the 100% word of God. Tell you exactly what it's all about. Just like John in his visions, caught in visions. Now let's go a little further. My servant Moses is not so who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently. And which means in view, in a shape. I will become visible to him, not to anybody else. This will be between him and me. I'll be there personally, and we're going to talk man to man. Not in dark speeches, not in parables or allegories. Not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. In other words, he's going to see the form I take on. It's going to be word for word. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. Now that's a very special kind of a person. Paul was that way, and we know William Branham was that way too. Very, very special. All right, now, let's go to Hebrews 1 and 1 to 2. We're always looking at these. God, who in many parts and in many ways, over a period of time, he did it different ways, different occasions. But watch what he did. Spoke in time past unto the fathers, not by. That's a wrong word entirely. It's in the prophets. See, the translators get worried. Then they want to interpret God's word and make it the way they want it. Hogwash. He didn't only speak by the prophets. He spoke in the prophets. See? Otherwise, how could Moses be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, he said, the Father in me doeth the works. All right. Hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son. Not by his Son. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say his Son. It says in Son. So God in the office of sonship. Not Father now, but in sonship. Now remember, he doesn't change that office. Now just keep that in mind. Now listen carefully, everybody listening, see? Because this is the thing that will make you wear your shoes right. Your dress is right and everything else right. If you get a revelation, this is not hard to take an inch off your shoes. If you need them, get rid of those little tiny things there. Throw away your slacks and stuff. Quit cutting your hair. If you don't get this, just go ahead. You're gonna pay a price. You know, you pay a big price. See, because I'm going to tell you something. Things are moving closer than people realize. Now, I'm not fussing at anybody. It's just that I got eyes to see and you got ears to hear. So I want you to do it. See, I'm not riding hurting anybody. You do what you want. Look, kid. This is too late to worry about whether you should drink grape juice because there might be an alcoholic amongst you getting back drinking liquor. I said, that's all he's got from God. And he can't take straight wine that's truly represented Jesus Christ. He's gone anyway. Here it happened to be in the first place. Because God can't keep you turned back to an alcoholic on that kind of nonsense. He can't keep you through the judgment. Now look at here. In the last days has spoken us in Son. In Son. Now get what I'm talking about. This is important. In Son. He has spoken in the last days in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now that man that you call Jesus never made the worlds. The man didn't. There's no way that man did it. Mm-mm. The only one that made the worlds was God. So when you're dealing with this, you're dealing, as we'll show in a minute, you're dealing with something different than people got on their mind. Not three gods, there's only one God. And he's got three offices, and he's got dozens of titles. I think there's 400 names or titles, which someday would be kind of interesting if we looked at a bunch of them. And he's got many roles that he plays as he's so led to do according to his omniscience. Now, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. What's he telling you? The one that did it is going to be sitting amongst us in the millennium. The spirit that's in our midst now, when becomes incarnated to us, will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, have the marriage supper with him, and come back on this earth. That's going to be God in the form. Who being the brightness of his glory, the literal effulgence or coming forth of what is specifically known of God, Logos, and Revelation. I'll go back to Ephesians series in 81. Now, and the express image of person. No, the expression of his substance, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, notice, Hebrews 1:1-2 is based on and the explanation of what we went into concerning Moses, because he is the original great prophet of the Bible, though Abraham was a prophet. Oh yeah, Enoch was a prophet. Sure. And we know that Jacob was a prophet. Isaac was a prophet. But when you're dealing with Moses, you're dealing with specifics that are different from these. This is the great one we look to. See, now here's where it tells you that God begins dealing with us and brings himself into our knowledge through a prophet bringing us the divine revelation. Now, here it is. God, over a period of time, different ways, how he needed to do it, got into prophets, brought the word of God. The same one that was in the prophets in many parts, entirely, completely, the whole word, the whole manifestation was put in one man, Christ Jesus. Now, what does it tell you about him? It tells you this, that he is the outflowing. He said, I came from God and I go to God. True. He is that brightness, that effulgence, that outrange. And notice, it says, the expression of his substance. Now, the substance of God is spirit, and no man can see it. So Jesus is the expression of the substance. He didn't say he was the substance. He says he was the expression. Now, how is the expression of any life? Just lilac. We don't have other real flowers here. Now, lilac. Now, we grow lilacs mainly for the flowers. We grow roses for the flowers. Now, you say, here is a rose. Now, that is not lilac light that you're seeing. That is the expression of the substance, which is lilac light. Each one of you, your physical body, is an expression of the true substance, which is you. You say, see my hand. Well, who's me? Or who's mine? So you see me? Who's me? Well, One day these bodies will crumble, go down, and you'll be gone. Okay, follow what I'm saying? All right, so Jesus is an expression. They said the express image, carbon copy. So you get to express image, then you get to understanding that he was both man and God. He was God, but he was man. He was man, but he was God. Now what parts man? The physical. But where did it come from? As men come from men, and we take the men and women in that category, so he would have to come from God, which would be simply God putting an expression of chemicals onto the substance. So he's the Son of God. And because he's the Son of God in the way that Adam was not, we were entitled now to a complete change. We were sons that came by fallen. Now that the sun didn't fall. See, one is the earth earthy. One is the Lord of heaven. See? One came by physical. The other came by creation. In a way the man did not come. See? There's an even headship there. All right. Now, watch here. Who being the outrange, God's starting to bring himself into a place where we can encompass him, so to speak, or apprehend, gives an expression of his substance. Now watch. What are we talking about? Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The same one in the prophet. The same one that was the prophet God, or the God prophet. Always using a substance, an expression of one substance, or an expression of substance which will declare or truly cause you to understand the substance that this substance represents. Like, look, here's a Bible, like a letter. You read it. That's one substance. What's the other substance? What was in the mind of the person who wrote it? So you got a substance that we have a certain substance, see, apprehend of another substance, you know we can get to. Unless that substance comes down to your substance. It's just like you're made of all kinds of chemicals. You don't get them together, right? You're gone. And when you die, you go back. You're gone. But God's going to bring them together again. For what reason? For the substance in here. What is what? Spirit and soul. So we're talking now of a substance and a substance. Let no man think that God is spirit, that he's not substance. Let no man think that God is amorphous, as though he's pan. We believe in pantheism, where God is everywhere. Hogwash. That's the stupidest thing in all the world. John saw him on a throne. There's epitomization right there. You don't have to believe it. That's fine with me. Believe anything you want. I believe it. Now, the same yesterday and today and forever. What? That God, back in Moses' day, used a pillar of fire. Abraham's day, the form of a man. Before Samson's birth, an angel. Because they said, what's your name? He said, you can't ask being it's wonderful. And there's only, the people said a secret. It's not secret at all. The word in the Hebrew is wonderful. There's only one person named Wonderful. Came down like an angel. See, stood there. Now, the same one that was in a man, Paul is saying he doesn't change. He's Jehovah of the old. He's Jesus the new. And the grounds on which he is saying it is by revelation, based upon Acts 9. Now let's look at it. As he first fought, 3, as he turned, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. There you are. Now that's Hebrews 13 and 8. And that's not a man. That's God with an expression, and the substance is fire. And he speaks out of it. He speaks face to face with Moses. And if you go to the book of Galatians, well, we might as well go there. We'll take our time today. I always figure I'm going to get you out of here in a hurry, but hurry day after tomorrow. We got no problem. I don't have any problem, except I might be your problem, which, you know, forget it. I'd cause a lot of people problems. Okay. Paul says over here, verse 11, chapter 1, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after men, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what was the revelation? God in a pillar of fire. Now, as I told one brother who came from Europe, I said, now, no doubt you've heard a lot of strange things about me in Europe. I said, I'm on false doctrine, according to them over there and around the world. But I said, don't you believe it? You can if you want, of course. Let me ask you, Christians, to show where I'm going. I said, what do you think of the instant that I say, Lord Jesus Christ? I said, no, don't tell me. I'll tell you. You think of the man with nail prints on the right hand of the majesty. He had to admit it. And I said, wrong. Wrong. God in the pillar of fire. Just what Paul saw. Henceforth now know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now henceforth know we him no more. So how are you going to know? If then there's going to be the definitive revelation, it must be this way. The disciples themselves could not get it to the human body. And they never got it except after Christ was risen. And they never even understood much of that till after the baptism. So therefore, the revelation doesn't come as people think. It comes this way. So therefore, we find once more that God has always revealed himself through a substance. In other words, God takes on a shape. Now let's see the taking on of a shape. We go to Philippians. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant. God took a shape. What was the shape? The position of a servant in the form of a man. Not a robot. Not an angel. Not the seven dwarfs. No. People always got to have something worked out. Black men were slaves, then they tried to get the red man as a slave, and they tried to get this and that. Man always wants to work out something. But look what God did. He, in the caste system, of his own caste system, his own cosmos, he came right down from headship to footship. He became the lowly ass, so to speak. Just took himself, little sheep that had to be slaughtered. See, you don't ride sheep to market and stuff like that. That's slaughtering. But you get the little animals, the little burden bearers, he became a burden bearer. He became an ox, as it were, yoked to mankind to take the load from. Absolutely, take my yoke upon you. Link up with me as a burden, as a bearer of burdens. Okay? Now, let this mind be yours in Jesus Christ. He said, now here's what he did. Made himself a reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now you notice what he's doing. From the very beginning, when God began to take shape, see? The outflowing from God, what the energy is, the divine spirit, the attributes which were in God, came first of all in the form of light, then began moving into creation, manifesting himself, taking shape. Then the day came when he had to take the shape of a man in order to redeem, because pillars of fire don't bleed. You have to identify perfectly with the individual. Now, remember what Brother Branham said was correct. Jesus said, I came from God, I go back to God. And the next time he appeared was in a pillar of fire at Pentecost. It wasn't the body. And so Paul saw that. Now, remember, in the book of Romans, The first chapter, and we've gone to this before, it says here, concerning his son Jesus Christ in verse 3, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, witnessing that he was that manifestation. But notice, from the resurrection on, the one we're dealing with is God in the form of sonship. And we're not dealing with God in the form of sonship in the flesh. The flesh is dealing with us as mediator, intercessor. But he doesn't come down and confront anybody. Now we're dealing with God in the form of sonship. That's why Brother Branham could say in these last days, God has given us the gift of his Son in the form of the Holy Ghost. See? So, God has taken upon himself, through the seven church ages, the form of fire. Now, it's not that he cannot manifest in a whirlwind, but it's still sonship in this hour. It's not that he's still not intrinsically Father. He can't change from what he is. There's no way. But it's the office has changed. In this hour, it is sonship. That's exactly why he could show himself as the pillar of fire, the Holy Ghost, God in the form of the Holy Spirit, come right down here amongst us and literally show, manifest, reveal the Son of Man. Now remember, the revelation of the Son of Man, though it's God manifesting, can only come through a prophet. As Brother Branham correctly said, in Ezekiel, God called him Son of Man. The prophets are known as Son of Man. That's why Jesus Christ had to take that great name. Now, that's a mystery theology. No theologian could tell you that. And, of course, Brother Branham is not held in respect as a prophet, so the theologians will not listen to the prophet. That's why this world's not going to get anywhere. They're all children of Lucifer. You see, Lucifer had the pure word of God and turned on it. He thought he had a better understanding of God's word than God did. He thought he could make a better job out of things than God could, even though God made it all. And you've got the church doing the same thing. That's why Michael and Jesus had war in the first place. Because one was the outraying and the manifestation, and the other wasn't. That's why a certain part of Jesus Christ was eternal. Just like you and me, but his much more. Now the fullness, we never had fullness, we had a little tiny attribute here and there. We had the fullness. Alright, we're seeing here at this end time that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is known definitely as the Son of Man ministry. Now, what we read in Philippians is identical to what we read in Hebrews here. See, he took upon himself a form. Now let's look at that form. Just to get our thoughts right. Who being the outreign of his glory and the expression of his substance. That's not hard to understand. What is it today? Right there. Right here. Picture. Like Brother Branham said, when God went down to Egypt with Moses, he didn't only manifest himself in signs and wonders, but the pillar of fire was seen visibly. And he said, throw the camera, throw today a parallel, the camera caught it. Now people are going to say, well, I don't buy that. Well, that's fine, don't buy it. No problem. We don't want people just coming around here believing something for the sake of believing something. This is not a conviction. It's fine to say to that, so if you know, it's going to throw anybody else. But the point is, look, this is narrowed down. This is narrowed down to where this is not sectarian. Although we'd be called sectarian and called everything else, that's fine by me. They'll never understand anyway. Because they don't know the Bible. They've already got their own interpretation. The interpretation is here. God has sundry times spoken to prophets, and now in the Son. Who needs prophets anymore? See, what did he make Paul? Where did Paul get his revelation? He's not a prophet. Where did John get his? See, there's no way you can tell people anything. But here's the Word of God. God has brought himself down to this stage where we see he's shaped in a pillar of fire. And the shape of God, as Brother Man called the man, the shape of God is a pillar of fire. To reveal himself to us, he uses the prophet. The prophet is what then? He's the shape of God. Now that's why Brother Branham can say the prophet is the living word of God made manifest. Basically, that is completely true. You say, why? Because the God is in that man's flesh using that man. Why? And how do you know? Because his words are not the words of a man, because the words of a man will not do what was done following that man's words. And notice, every time, thus saith the Lord. Not dealing with preachers anymore, not dealing with... Listen, the church is back to headship. How? Because it's got, thus saith the Lord. That set the whole thing up to receive the word. Which brings you from any imperfection of seed right back to the true nature and seed of Almighty God, even though you're still in your cockle birth. Look it. There's body, soul, and spirit receives redemption. We have been saved. We are being saved. We are yet to be saved. And the full premise is going on right now. Because if we know anything about the word of God being correct for this hour, immortality is already sent into some of the people sitting here. I may die and go off the scene. That's all right. I got the seed of what will bring you back immortal. All right. God revealed in human flesh. That's your prophet. Now, the reason I'm bringing this out, I want you to understand definition. If you don't understand definition at this point, you cannot understand what Brother Brown is saying. The same as you brought out presence, which is the appearing. People are still gasping over it. And they'll gasp over this, that the prophet is the living word of God made manifest. See? They'll still gasp over it. The definition is, the prophet's words will do what a man's words cannot do. That makes him that living word. Now, let's understand this too. What is God revealed in human flesh? That's the bride. Now she receives the word. Now you see vicarage, as we showed you. Christ said, I'll send the Spirit. Father said, Spirit. That becomes the vicar of the man sitting there. Every age has a messenger. That's the chief vicar. Because he's by means vicarious instead of. Now there's a bad antichrist, which is in the stead of the true Christ, and there's a true vicar, which absolutely is of God. And that's that Holy Spirit. And he picks up a man, and he becomes the vicar. As Paul says, an ambassador. He's the head ambassador. Because remember, he says, the Spirit says to the churches, and then see, he that hath an ear, let him hear, but he only talks to one man. Paul was a prophet. At the end time, you got the same thing. And you bring it right down to vicarage, to where you have a messenger bring the word to the age. You got a fivefold ministry to break it down. You got a people to take it out. See? All right. You've got the living word of God made manifest in this hour, which is a prophet like Moses, like the Apostle Paul. Because Paul had exactly what Moses had and what William Branham had. In that hour, where God was shining himself forth and showing. All right. Now, he said, take people and train them and send them out with that word. And they in turn will train others, the flock, and they'll go with that word. So that makes the bride herself is the living word, the word of God manifest, not living word now. Well, that's partly true, because she's just like, you know, the prophet, because after all, let's face it, the fathers, our fathers are the prophets. That's that word. We're word children. So therefore now the bride is the word of God revealed in human flesh. Coming closer and closer to that image, which Brother Branham categorized by taking 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, bringing it right down to that ministry. We're in that very hour there. Now, she is God revealed, the word of God revealed in human flesh. See? Now, seven church ages, God has revealed himself to man. But in the last age is Omega, patterned on the Alpha. And all the ages have looked forward to this. And this is what I'm bringing this whole message about. Have looked forward to this, Brother Branham said. Did not say they looked to the rapture. Did not say they looked to holding him in his hands in the wedding supper. He said they looked for the return of the pillar of fire. They looked for this day because this is what Hosea and Joel is all about and the Word of God is all about. This is when the book becomes unsealed. And the one that sealed the book, who first took it out of the hands of the men in the church, the synagogue, opened it, closed it, is the one that opens the seal today and has opened the seal today. Nobody else could do it. In the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire, using a vindicated prophet. God vindicating himself. God vindicating his prophet. God vindicating his word. God vindicating you. You don't need anything but this message.
Amen.
Now, I'm getting closer to the thrust. And the thrust is this. This is the most important appearing and the most important substanding, not yesterday and not tomorrow. The hour that God gave substance to himself, this hour, is more important than anything you saw years ago. I read an article, a little ad in the paper. This fella, F-A-T-I, whether that's Fati or Fatty, don't ask me, or Fati, Atkinson. And he's preaching for a Mormon preacher. And he must be about my age. Because he's boasting that he sees all the great move of God since Amy McPherson, and he puts her with Dr. Price. Well, I could never do that. I could put Dr. Price there, but I got to leave Amy out. A woman preacher. I'm sorry about that, but that's just the way it goes. And he put him there also. He said he went down to the next step was William Branham, Oral Roberts, and Ethan. Well, that's fine. I saw that too. And he gets right down all through the ages. But you see, he doesn't have a clue to what's going on. He doesn't have a clue because he's still looking down the road. Now, don't ever use expressions, as far as I'm concerned, that you're looking for the rapture, and that's the great thing. Because I'm going to tell you, if you miss this, you ain't got no rapture. See? And I don't care what you got behind you. How great that is, how wonderful. And Paul was wonderful, and Luther's wonderful. They're all wonderful. Hallelujah, I got no problem there. But that doesn't suit me. Because that's not good enough. Because Paul only looked for the power of the resurrection. We've got it. Because Brother Branham categorically said he has done the sign of the resurrection. It's amongst us.
Hallelujah.
See? Always looking back, always looking forward, always missing. This is not the eve and the morning of anything. This is that day. Okay? So let's understand. Don't start looking down the road. Don't look back. But this is the hour when God gave substance to himself. And the substance was right there in photograph. And the vindication was a prophet who could say, thus saith the Lord, and it never, ever failed. So when you rest on that, you will pile word upon word until the graces and the virtues of the Holy Spirit, which is in the measure of the word, which is complete, there's no more to come. I showed you the capstone has come down. There's no more to come till the capstone comes down. And remember, the cornerstone is nothing but the capstone in a different position. Same one that starts ends it. Don't tell me there's a difference. It's the same one, but the revelation has increased and the power has increased. Because authority doesn't come from the feet, it comes from the head. And the cornerstone is really only symbolic. Means he simply started the whole thing. The Holy Spirit himself. In the day of Pentecost, the church was born. Then no man kid you otherwise. They'll try to do it, but you can't get away from that. That's when she was born. And the one that came then as the cornerstone simply went up and poured everything as it was necessary and requisite by the plan of Almighty God himself. Nothing left to come down. The whole world's complete. It says that the mysteries run out. Everything runs out. Who starts it? The one that finishes it. And this is that hour. This is that day. So keep your expression. And what you got lined up today, brother, sister, because this is the important hour. So many are looking and say, well, I just looking for that great resurrection. I'm looking for that great rapture. It doesn't bother me one bit. Sure, it'd be nice to be in a glorified body. I can't tell you anything about it, and I don't have any feelings about it, because I don't know how to feel. All I can feel is hot, cold, wet, dry, and so I hate wet. And I hate cold, almost. Well, if it's dry cold, it's not too bad, but wet cold drives me up a wall. All I can go by is my five senses. How do I know what would it feel to have a glorified body that travels faster than speed of thought goes through walls? Light doesn't even go through walls. He said, well, I don't think I could do that. You're in a body like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What are you talking about? What's that God do with light? That's a billion times more than light. See? It's all here in this hour. And that's what Brother Branham could not get across to the people. And that's what I fear I can't get across to people. Because every now and then I get a ripple from someplace. And this message is upon a ripple. Of either an understanding or misunderstanding, not of me, but one of the brethren. Is he looking down the road? Well, I got news then, man. Put your blinkers on and pull the shade down. Stop looking down that road. You already know what's down that road as far as a word is concerned. But do you know what is in your road as far as you're living right now? Do men understand? Do we understand? Do we have our children growing up just because this message is in the homes that the children think, well, it's okay, that's fine? Or do they understand they must be born again themselves? Because, believe me, the token is required, my brother, sister, in this hour. A token is required of you to be born again because the token is here to demand it. The same one that people talk about. Oh, this great God of love. He's right. This great God of mercy. Oh, sure. Still a judgment. Sure. There's no changing in him. See? But that great one, now let's get the point, took upon himself a substance in this hour. What for? He didn't have to do it for five solid church ages. But now right here amongst the people, God himself, Lord Jesus Christ, not man now. That's not the substance. See, there's no blood in fire. But fire is a cleanser. It'll clean up what needs cleaning up, and it'll destroy what needs destroying. And remember at the end time, he said, I'll leave neither root nor branch. Well, let's get here to Malachi, and we'll just close with it, because you've got to trust in what I'm saying. If you haven't got it, I'm going to preach it so you'll understand it. Malachi 4, for behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, ye all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And who are the proud? They're like Satan. Satan, by reason of pride, fell. And what is humility? Believing the word of God. Pride is against the word of God. Humility is with the word of God. All that do wickedly, who are they? They that worship without a revelation. Well, I don't think my uncle's wicked, and I don't think my father is either. After all, he's a minister. Or my brother, or your sister, they're ministers too. They go preaching the gospel, shouldn't you? Say, well, you mean to tell me that that person's wicked? What about Cain? He was called wicked not because he killed his brother. He was wicked because he offered wrong. Now, you see, we're narrowing this thing down. We're narrowing it down, brother, sister, where you can see grace takes over. And that grace was given us through the manifestation of God himself through a prophet bringing us a word that places us. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about. Now put your thinking caps on. You've heard me say this time after time. Listen, I'd like to pass the test among you sometime. I just question everyone. You question me. I'd like to question all of you. Paul said the day came, the day is here when you should all be teachers. You're sitting around. He said, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just posing the thing. Now, I know some of you. Your answers are good or better than mine. You know what I'm talking about. You know, if I can't express it, what's in here and here. I know your ability. And I'm going to say this too. Your perhaps inability doesn't mean you don't have it. But there's somewhere where you'll ring a bell. There's got to be. There can't be, brother, sister. There can't be anything but that. Brother Branham said, look, there's a master bell maker. He just had to pour the right thing in to make the right tune. Now look, there's got to be a right tune. Oh yeah, so come on, we're not trying to hurt anybody. Just, hey, look. See? That's why I say your Friday night meeting. You don't have to have every time it off, but don't you slack up around here. You slack up, you watch where things go. I'm not being harsh to anybody, because you know I love you, and I know you love me. Nobody's trying to be harsh, but just trying to warn you. Our ministry here is a kind of an exclusive thing, and almost reclusive, too. We're not trying to build walls or anything. But we stand on, look, it's in this word, and if we have this word right, God has to anoint that word. If we don't believe we're here just on the mechanical precept. Now it says, all the proud, they did do wickedly, shall be stubble. Now that's the grain, where the life went out of it. No use anymore. The days that come shall burn them up, said the Lord of hosts. It'll leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing, immortality's wings. Well, sure, when he arises, that's not everybody getting healed, that's immortality. Grub as calves of stall, tread down the wicked. Ashes under the soles of your feet in the day I do this, saith the Lord. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, that commanded him in Horeb. Remember, Horeb, Mount Sinai, and it had the law, and when he went back on Horeb, came grace. Even Bunyan brings that out. Old doctor, old Bunyan, the great writer of Pilgrim's Progress, you know, different ones. don't be thinking his vision. He wasn't a prophet. His visions were phony. The visions that Baker wrote of those kids in China, they're phony. Oh, the devil will give you, he'll give you 90%, correct, 99. He'll make you like ivory soap, 99 and 99 per cure. But that little bit in there, just mess it out. Took one little seed in the womb of Eve, just, you can't, 15,000 across the hair. Come on, brother, come on, I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Get the picture here, just understand. We got no room for this error going on. Horeb was great. He saw that, but he went haywire at the other places. It wasn't the hour, see? No judgment on the man. He did his best, but he had wrong vision. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and judgment of the Lord. Now he said, before this happens, I'll send Elijah. And he shall turn the hearts of the children to their fathers, because the first part's already done. Even Scopoli recognized that. Lest I come by the earth with a curse. See? That's the John the Baptist, the end time. Last messenger to bring in. A complete manifestation of God. God once more taking on a substance. So that God as substance may come in view of the people and the people apprehend him who is spirit. I'll tell you something, brother, sister. You get to understand what I'm saying? You have seen God. Oh, listen. I can't persuade you all day long. Just believe me. Because I'm not lying to you. But if you think maybe I'm far-fetching the truth, let's just find out if I am. Paul preaching here in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, talking about those of the heathen. It says here, who being past feeling, verse 19, gave themselves to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Paul says right there, I am Jesus Christ to you. And when you hear me, you have heard God. You have seen God. You have handled God. Everything that God does, it comes by this channel. Now, what more do you want? And why are you looking down the road? See? Why make this something, events surrounding the rapture, so to speak? Why make this something here? Why make it anything but Jesus? The same as Paul did. Same as William Branham did. That's why he said, my message is to declare that he is here. Headship is returned to the church. Preeminence is his again. Doesn't lie in a man. Doesn't lie in an event. What's a prophet without that? God condescended to put himself where he'd be nothing without that. And let the mind of Christ be in you this morning to realize who it is we're dealing with. Not so much what, that spirit, but who. And where it all lies, it lies in him as the millennium. In him as the rapture. In him as immortality. In him as the new Jerusalem. In him as everything. And he's here. And looking down the road, come on. Why look back at something partially formed in us? Christ is now formed in the church. All eyes should be upon him. Then the break comes. The resurrection takes place. And we're all changed. And we're standing here. Days maybe. 40 days. How long? I don't know. Shall we all see each other? And who made it and have a great time? For what reason? So every eye can be on him when we're caught up the wedding supper. God giving grace by showing signs and wonders to get our attention, to get our love toward Him, our approval, our approbation. God in humility. Then man smarting off as though he's got something. Can't take the way of God. To be satisfied with Him. Why does everybody start saying, well, I'm satisfied with Him, but if He's satisfied with Him, oh, shut up, you may turn my stomach. That's a lie and you know it. That's hypocrisy. That's that false humility.
Amen.
That's a bunch of hogwash. Unless it comes from a really true person like Brother Branham, I wouldn't take that for nothing. You know that God was satisfied through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and pronounced us 100% righteous, but we stand back and we're not too satisfied with Him. Let's get the picture right this morning, Brother Sister. Let's get some true humility, some true repentance, which means let's change our minds. Oh, don't talk about sunrise and don't talk about evening shadows. Listen, talk about Him who has risen with healing in His wings and give Him glory, to give Him praise and honor and glorify the great God who's amongst us, who deigned to come down and take junk on like you and me. You know why? Because we weren't junk in the first place. We were seed of God in a cuckleberry. Lambs that went astray, sheep that left the shepherd. That's why it tells the pastors, feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed in the still waters by the clear, cool waters and the pastures and fresh food from the hand of Almighty God. Here's where you stand, Brother Sister. So I preached what I had to preach this morning. Hope you got insight. Without good notes, I can't do much. But if you haven't got what I said, ask me questions. Do anything. Pray to God. But get the understanding I'm trying to get across to you today. It doesn't lie in anybody. It lies in Him and He is here. Let's rise at this time. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that no matter how we chew our words up and get our thoughts a little askew, Lord, you can help us anyway, Lord. If I depend upon my words, Lord, to break a crust or to break through, what would they do? My own words couldn't break through to myself. How can I do anything, Lord? But you had a prophet, vindicated prophet, vindicating yourself, vindicating your man, vindicating your word, proof every which way, all around, below, above, surrounding us. And why should we not look to you, Lord, today as never before? For we know that you are here amongst your bride. You're here in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire to lead us into the millennium, to take us up in a rapture, to bring forth the dead, to see yourself incarnated before us at the great rapture, at the wedding supper, Lord. We'll crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See all these things come to pass. See you come down with us and reign and rule and see the millennium. See you as the judge upon the throne. See you then at the end of the millennium in the great new Jerusalem. See the Lamb, then see you in a pillar of fire. See all these things, Lord. You took shape, and we're so grateful, Lord, and it's so hard to comprehend, but by your grace we can comprehend, we do comprehend, and we will thoroughly apprehend the understanding that the bride is the Word made flesh. Oh, God in heaven, we believe that we're that today, not by anything of ourselves, but you said it, you proved it, Lord, and we've got to stand on it, not looking down a road, Lord, anymore. This is it. The light has shined. And we thank you for it. And pretty soon there'll be no more light. This is it. We've got the word, Lord. Light shining in darkness. Logos. Everything, Lord, that's been brought forth in this hour shows the hour in which we live. And we're part of that hour. So, Father, we're part of you. So may we never forget what we are dwelling on these days and these hours, O God, to set us aflame with a revelation. A revelation, Lord, that assumes a life. Not presumes it, but actually assumes it. Rebirth, Lord, and that coming through. Washed by the water of the Word. True repentance, everything lined up, O God. We hunger for it, Lord. And this is that hour for it, we believe. Now help each one in divine presence. Anybody unsaved, Lord, may the heart be solemnized to realize this is the hour to get right with you. Not fooling and looking down the road foolishly, because this life is going to go pretty soon one of these days. It's time to be serious and sober, as the prophet said, Lord. And we recognize it, O God. And yet we know the devil just shakes us around. Lord, you take us today. Lead us by your hand, Lord, gently, O God, beside those still waters into sweet, restful humility in the life of Jesus Christ. The sick amongst us, Lord, it's time, Lord, that sweet spirit come into the church. Because the gifts have been laid on the shelf, Lord. We just have one gift among us as far as we know. That's the gift of a prophet that you brought the word, Lord God. Pastors and things are fine, Lord. Teachers, prophets, all that's very good. But we know where the great thing is, Lord. May you have, Lord, we know you're here to bring us immortality. Father God, we pray your sweet spirit will enliven everyone in this church, a true revival, a true love. That love of God, you who are love, Lord, let that spirit be amongst us and never before. capping us, crowning us all in with yourself. And then every sick one amongst us healed, Lord. We're looking for that. We're looking for the rapture. Looking for all of it, Father God in heaven, because we believe it to be the truth. We know we're sealed to it, Lord. We can't get away from it. So be with us now to bring us back on Saturday, Lord, to a gracious and wonderful time in each other and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we all come back with a deeper measure and a revelation and a deeper light than ever before. And unto you who alone are worthy, yes, you are the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, all power, and honor and glory as we worship through Jesus Christ our Lord and the eternal Spirit. Amen. The Lord bless you. Just sing, take the name of Jesus with you.